did the Israelites thought that by bringing along the ark, God surely would be with them in battle. But they were wrong. You know why? Because their intention might be good, but and they thought that by doing that, God will be with them. But God thought otherwise, and God has other plan, and God didn't go with them. So you see, when we serve our Lord, there may be things that we do that are good, but may not be what God wants us to do. So one question we have to ask is, how can we make sure that when we serve our Lord, we serve His way? It may not be an easy answer to questions to answers, but I'll try to begin by giving you some attitudes from today's scriptures. I believe that if we follow these attitudes, we might be on the path of serving God His ways, doing God things and not just good things. There might be other attitudes that can help us in this area, but I'm going to just give you three out of today's scriptures. Actually, the scripture that we should be reading just now is from chapter 35, from verse 20 onward. So I would like every one of you to help me in reading it again. Chapter 35, verse 20 to 35. Okay. Exodus chapter 35. I'm going to read the even words, number verses, and I would like you to read the odd number verses for me. Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord, and everyone who had acacia wood or for any part of the work brought it. And all the women who were willing and had the skill spun the goat hair. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. 28. Now, just now I said that I'm going to, from this passage, I'm going to give you three attitudes that can help us on the path of when we serve the Lord, we have a better chance of serving Lord His way, doing God things and not just good things. Now, the first attitude from this passage that I want you to learn is the attitude of willingness. Serving Him with a willing heart will help us to serve Him His way. Now, how can we see willingness in this passage? I want to begin by first telling you a little bit of the background about this passage. This passage was given, recorded a time when Moses began to tell them how to worship the Lord. We know that Moses has brought the Israelites out of Egypt through the Red Sea. And on Mount Sinai, God gave them the commandments, the laws. And it now's times for them to learn how to worship the Lord. But in order to worship the Lord, they also need objects, tools, utensils so that they can worship the Lord in a way that God wants them to worship. So this chapter recorded the instruction that Moses gave to them on how to build those vessels, those utensils, those objects. And so Moses gathered all the Israelites and said to them, they ought to bring things to so that these objects can be made. But in the passage that we have just read, a little bit before that, in chapter 35, verses 4 to 7, when Moses asked them to bring those things, and we see that they did bring those things to Moses, Moses actually gave them an instruction on the attitude they should have when they come. Let's look at 4 to 7. This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, etc. And notice that the Lord emphasized the need for willingness when they bring their offerings to him. Willingness. You have to come with willingness. And if you go a little bit back further to chapter 25, the Lord actually said to Moses, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. And notice this one. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. Whose offering does God want? He wants the offering from a person whose heart prompts him to give. So today, my brothers and sisters, when you come before the Lord, do you come willingly as your heart prompts you to come? When you give to the Lord, do you give willingly as your heart prompts him to give? If you can do that, I'm sure God will be pleased with you. You see, as a result of their willingness, and because in the passage that we just read, we see that they did come with willingness. They brought many things. And as a result of their willingness, the work of the Lord can proceed smoothly and according to plan, and they were able to finish those things in time. And this is the attitude that we must have if we are to serve him this way. Do you have the willingness? Do you do as your heart prompts you to do? I'm sure many of you have heard of a missionary by the name of Gladys Aylward. Because I know Mission Fest is coming, so we are all talking about missions, and I want to tell you this missionary story. Gladys Aylward was very poor when he was born. By the age of 14, he became a maid for a wealthy family. And one day after attending church, a stranger confronted her with the message of salvation, and she gave her life to Christ that day. But after becoming a Christian, Gladys began reading about a faraway story about China one day from his employer's library. And she was so moved by the needs of the Chinese people that she decided to become a missionary to China. So she did what all other Christians did. She applied to the mission agency at the time, which was the China Inland Mission, founded by Hudson Taylor. But because she has never been to school, and she never had been to higher education, so they tested her, and after reviewing her test result, it was determined that she was unfit and not smart enough to learn the difficult Chinese language. I know that Chinese language is difficult, right? But she failed her test, and she was 28 at the time. So her dream of becoming a missionary to China was crushed, but she never gave up. She decided, if they cannot send me, then I would go by myself. So for the next 2 years, she saved up all the money that she could, even though she wasn't paid a lot. And at the end of 2 years, she bought a one-way ticket and went to China. On October 15, 1932, she left Liverpool railway station by train and traveled across Russia and eventually into northern China. The story was told that she carried two suitcases, a bedroll. At one point, she was kicked off from a train in the middle of nowhere. And then she has to retrace her step back. And then she eventually traveled across Siberia. And then eventually she went to China. As soon as she got to China, she immediately began her work by operating an inn for mule drivers, where she learned Chinese from their interaction with these people. She also adopted orphans. And at one point, she had over 100 orphans in her care. Now, after 20 years in China, Gladys returned to England, and she was embarrassed to find out that she quickly became a celebrity. Someone wrote a book, a movie, and a TV documentary about her life. Amidst all the fame, Gladys remained humble. And she once said this to a friend. She said, "I wasn't God's first choice at all for what I have done in China. There must be somebody else. I don't know who it was. God's first choice. It must have been a man, a wonderful man, a well-educated man. I don't know what happened. Perhaps he died. Perhaps he wasn't willing." So God looked around and saw Gladys Aylward instead. And he asked me if I would go. And I said, "Lord, I am willing." And that's why God sent me. So by her own admissions, Gladys believed that she was used by God only because of her willingness. If Gladys can be greatly used by God simply because of her willingness, just think about it. How much more pleasing to our Lord it must have been if we can all serve Him with willingness. So, and today, I hope you will do the same. It's your chance to serve. It's your chance to give. It's your chance to do things for the Lord. But do it with a willing heart, and you will be blessed. Now, the first attitude that that can help us on a path of serving God His way, doing God things and not just good things, is an attitude of willingness. But I don't think that is enough. I want to add another one. Because with willingness only, we might get into trouble still. We might get sidetracked. And I want to give you another attitude. And this attitude is, you have to learn to serve not just willingly, but also be able to work together with others in one heart and in one mind. Or in other words, you have to be able to work in a cooperative sense, in a church. And I'm sure a lot of you have passion. I'm sure a lot of you have willingness to serve. But willingness without cooperation sometimes can bring trouble. Sometimes will lead us into doing just good things and not God things. Now, let us come back to the passage. Let's look at what situation was facing Moses at the time. I want to go a little bit further now. In chapter 36, verse 3, it says that they received from Moses all the offering the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continue to bring freewill offering morning after morning. So you see, Moses asked them to give willingly. They came and they give willingly. And then they give and give and give every morning after every morning. To the point that in Exodus 36, 4-7 is recorded. So all the skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left their work and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order and they sent this word throughout the camp. "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. So you see, they have too many offerings to the point that Moses has to say to them, "Please, don't bring anything more. I don't know about you. If you said this is a problem, I would say this is a very nice problem to have. I would say no pastor would object to their congregation giving too much offering. And I'm sure most pastors would like their congregation to give more than the church can accept. But you know, Moses has to stop them from bringing because it's hindering the progress of the work. You know, as I was thinking about this passage, I find this remarkable. Because all it takes is only one complaint and Moses will be in big trouble. Let me give you an example. What if someone complained and said, why can't I give my gift? Why don't you accept it? Or what if someone protested? What gives you the right to not accept mine and receive his? This is not fair. You are discriminating against mine and not his or her. You know, all it takes is one complaint and conflict will ensue. Trouble will start. Split will follow. Moses will have many sleepless nights and endless troubles. But none of this happened. You see, in the passage, it was said that Jesus stopped them and they gladly agree. So these Israelites were not only willing, they actually were able to serve together for the good of the community, for the good of the body. Now, let's look at today's church. What I found in today's churches, capable Christians abound. We do not have lack of capable persons. But unfortunately, most often these capable leaders cannot work together. And as a result, the churches suffer rather than benefit from the presence. I like to use this analogy. I'm not sure about you. I like to read comics even when I was young. I read a lot of comics. And I also like to watch superhero movies as well. I'm not sure if you like it. I'm not sure, I don't know which is your favorite, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, or Iron Man, or any others. I'm not sure if you have ever discovered all these superheroes, they were always often loners. They were like lonely persons. They have to save the world all by themselves, and they got frustrated sometimes. You know, this is exactly what happened in the church. We have a lot of superheroes, and not enough corporations, and people got frustrated, and the ministry suffered. So what I'm saying is, we not only need to have a willing heart, not only need to have a passion for doing God's work, we need to be able to serve with others, work in group, in teamworks. When you apply for jobs, one question they always ask you, are you a team? Right. Likewise, in the church, we need to be a team player. You know, when I was still in seminary, I heard of this funny story. It was told by a very serious, serious pastor. He never smiled. But when he told us this funny story, he smiled. He was laughing. And then, so I remember it vividly, just like yesterday. It was a story, many of you maybe have heard this story before. It was on the internet, I found out as well. You know, this is a story about a man who built houses and he was injured in one of his projects. So he wrote a claim form to the insurance company to try to get compensation. But it was turned back because the insurance company told him that the reason that you have wrote for your injury wasn't clear enough, and they asked for clarification. So this is a letter that he wrote back to the insurance company. He said, "Dear sir, I'm writing in response to your request for additional information in block 3 of the accident report form. I put working alone as the cause of my accident. You ask me for a fuller explanation, and I trust the following details will be sufficient. I'm a bricklayer by trade. On the day of the accident, I was working along on the roof of a six-story building. When I completed my work, I found that I had some bricks left over, which, when weighed later, were found to be slightly in excess of 500 pounds. Rather than carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel by using a pulley, which was attached to the side of the building on the sixth floor. Securing the rope at ground level, I went up to the roof, swung the barrel out, and loaded the bricks onto it. Then I went down and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure slow descent of the bricks. Your note in block 11 of the accident report from form that I weighed 135 pounds. Due to my surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded at a rapid rate up the side of the building. In the vicinity of the third floor, I met the barrel, which was now proceeding downward at an equal impressive speed. This explained the fractured skull, minor abrasions, and the broken collarbone as listed in section 3 of the accident report form. Slow only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until the fingers of my right hand were two knuckles deep into the pulley. Fortunately, by this time I had regained my presence of my mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of beginning to experience great pain in my fingers. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Now devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel weighed approximately 50 pounds. I want to refer you again to my weight, 135 pounds. As you can imagine, I began a rapid descent. Down the side of the building, in the vicinity of the third floor, I met the barrel coming up again. This accounts for the two fractured ankles, broken tooth, and several lacerations of my legs and lower body. Here my luck began to change slightly. The encounter with the barrel seemed to slow me enough to lessen my injuries when I fell into the pile of bricks, and fortunately only three vertebrae were cracked. I'm sorry to report, however, as I lay there on the pile of bricks, in pain, unable to move, I began to lose my composure and presence of mind and let go of the rope, and I lay there watching the empty barrel begin its journey back down onto me. This explained the two broken legs. In short, I was injured the way I was because I was working alone. I hope this answers your inquiry. My brothers and sisters, superheroes need friends too. Don't work alone. I know you are very capable. You can build six-story buildings, but sometimes we need other people to help us. We need to have passions, but we also need to communicate. We also need to help each other. Now, I have another funny story that I heard a long time ago. It was kind of funny. You probably heard of it before. You know, in a small village in South America, a young man was about to get married. The whole family was very happy. Grandma, the mom, the sister were all excited and happy because they loved the young man so much. But there was a problem. You see, the village was small and the people were very poor. There was not a tailor in the area, and so it's impossible for the young man to get a suit for his big day. Unfortunately, mom remembered that her brother who lived in a faraway village might have a suit. So she wrote a note to her brother asking if he could lend him a suit. Many days they waited, and on the evening before the wedding, the suit arrived. With it was a letter from the young man's uncle, congratulating him on his wedding. Uncle said that, "Oh, I cannot come to your wedding, but I would like to give this suit to you as a gift." The young man was elated, and he quickly tried on the suit. It looks good on him, but except that the pants is too long, because uncle was a tall man, and he found that the pants was 3 inches too long. But he said, it was okay. As long as I have the suit, I'll just like wrap it up. It was no big deal. So he put the suit into the closet And then he went to sleep early that night because the next day would be a big, his big day, and it's going to take a lot of the whole day. And around midnight, after everyone has gone to bed, a shadow slowly emerged and took the suit from the closet. It was his sister. She laid the pants on the table, and under the dim candlelight, she measured the pants and shortened the pants by exactly 3 inches. After she finished, you could see the tears in her eyes, and she whispered to herself, "Oh, my beloved brother, this is the least I can do for you." She hung the suit back into the closet, and she left. Soon after, another shadow emerged and took the suit out of the closet. It turned out that this was Mom. She laid the pants on the table, and under the dim candlelight, she measured and shortened the pants by exactly another 3 inches. After she finished, you can see the tears in her eyes. And she whispered softly, "Oh, my beloved son, this is the least I can do for you." She hung the suit back into the closet and disappeared into the darkness. Soon another shadow emerged from darkness, and you guessed right, it was the grandma. She took the suit out, laid the pants on the table, and under the dim candlelight, she shortened the pants by actually another 3 inches. You could see the tears in her eyes also. And she said, "Oh, my beloved grandchild, this is the least I can do for you." She hung the suit back into the closet and disappeared slowly into the darkness. So the next morning, you could see how the young man's jaw dropped when she put on the pants. She could never understand how come the pants can be so short now. Six inches too short now. And you know, in the clock of all the people, the most surprised and puzzled of all were the sister, the mom, and the grandma. "I thought I just trimmed 3 inches. How come it's like 9 inches total? We must have made a mistake." And they dare not say a word because they didn't want anybody to know. So brothers and sisters, we must have passion. We must work willingly. But willingness without communication and cooperation can sometimes be detrimental. So my encouragement to you is, learn to serve in a way that is willing, and also learn to serve in a way that is together. Serve among your peers. Serve among your brothers and sisters. Now, so far, I have talked to you about serving with a willing heart. I have also talked to you about serving together in unison, cooperatively. But I want also to add another thing, which I think is very important. That is the attitude of humility. This year, January, marks my 16 years in full-time ministry. If you ask me, "Leo, can you tell me one thing that you have learned from your 16 years in ministry?" I think I can tell you one most important thing, in my opinion, in ministry, that is very important to me and to the church and to the community of faith, is humility. You see, without humility, everyone will suffer. Relationships suffer. God's ministry suffer. Churches suffer. And you and me suffer. So we must be willing to serve, but we must be able to serve together. But I also want to add this thing. We must be able to serve with humility. You know, in the passage that we just read this morning, after in verses 30 to 35, there are two names that continue to be mentioned. One is Bezalel, and the other is Oholiab. The Bible says that these two are the leaders among those skilled persons to whom God has given skills and ability to know how to carry out, to do the objects, the tools for worship. That means they have a lot of skilled persons. But out of those two many skilled persons, there are two that stand out, Bezalel and Oholiab. So these are two very capable persons. And from the description in the Bible, we can see that they can serve with willingness. They also said, tells us they can work together. But most remarkable of all, what I found is they serve with such humility that the whole community of faith benefited. How can we tell? One evidence is in Exodus 39, which is way back now. Exodus 39, 43. It says, Moses inspected the work and saw that they had done it just as the Lord has commanded. So Moses blessed them. Now notice the Bible said, they had done it just as the Lord has commanded. You see, they were the experts. But they did not do it as they pleased. Instead, they followed instructions. You know, it takes humility to be able to do that. Bezalel and Oholiab, they were leaders. In today's terms, they were the church leaders, the deacons, church board members, Sunday school teachers, small groups or worship groups leaders, or fellowship leaders. These are people others look up to. And most leaders, you know, may not be good followers. But not Bezalel and Oholiab. They are not just good leaders, but they are also good followers because of the humility. We live in Canada. We had a lot of chance to see geese, ducks flying in a V formations up in the sky. Yeah. Do you know why they fly in a V formation? Scientists told us that it's because for aerodynamic reason, right? And we heard that like long time ago. But you know, it wasn't until last week that a report was published in the news that said they actually proved it once and for all, that the V formation is for aerodynamic reason. Funny, eh? I thought we already knew. How they confirmed that? They put cameras on top of birds and recorded how they fly, how they coordinate their wings and stuff. It was amazing stuff. You should go on YouTube and look it up. And the reformation, what they found is the flapping of each bird's wing create underdraft and uplift force for the birds behind them. And the reformation allow each bird to fly 70% further than it is to fly by itself. That means a single bird flying by itself will fly less. But if they fly in the reformations, they can fly 70% longer. And the wind velocity created by the wings of the company of birds will help the momentum of each individual bird. And if a bird falls out of formation, it will lag behind. So what happened? The front leading bird will always be the most tired one, right? So what happened when he got so tired, he would just like move to the back and then the next one would go up. And you also found that the birds keep quacking when they fly, right? And without knowing what happened, we thought, oh, they were just complaining. Quack, quack, quack. You're too slow and stuff like that. But scientists found out that they weren't complaining at all. They was actually encouraging. They said, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up, you know? So next time when you heard them cracking, just imagine that they are like, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. In Chinese, 加油, 加油, right? So don't you think they're smart? I think they're very smart. Why can they do that? I think they demonstrate clearly what I want to say today. Not only that they are willing to help each other, they can actually help each other. They work together and they have such humility to work together. So I hope that we can learn a lesson from these birds. Just like them, Christians must travel the journey together. And we help each other along the way with willingness and with humility. So my brothers and sisters, my friends, serve willingly and sacrificially with one heart and one mind, and serve with humility. And on this day of your building pledge, will you be doing just a good thing, or will you be doing God thing? So I encourage you to give willingly, to give cooperatively, and to give it in an attitude of humility. And may the Lord bless you all. Let's pray. Dear Father God, I want to give thanks for allowing us to worship you together today, and also ask for your blessings upon everyone here today. May your presence be felt by them, and may your words be embedded in each one of us, that no matter where we serve it with willingness, we serve it with unison, and we serve it with an attitude of humility. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.